And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, A Lifetime is Just Long Enough, by Joseph Mendel, is presented in observance of the holiday Simchat Torah, which marks the conclusion and the new beginning of the annual cycle of Torah reading in the synagogue. It happened exactly 197 years ago, in a little town whose name is of no importance. There are those who may like to think of this as an imaginary story about real people. But then, it's also possible to think the same of history. It is not a fruitful thought, because the story is, in its own way, a true story. It was a little town, just large enough to have a marketplace, a simple inn, and, of course, a synagogue. Now, as the sun was setting on a day in the autumn of a good year, a traveler arrived and went, naturally, to the synagogue. That he was not an ordinary kind of person was soon evident to the townspeople.
David, look at him.
Be still, Nahum. You're interrupting the services.
Once open the prayer book. Did you see, David?
I saw.
He knows the entire service by heart. This in itself was not remarkable, perhaps, but neither was it common. And even less common was that which they discovered later. In the Bet Hamidrash, the house of studies.
We usually spend an hour or so with the Talmud. You are welcome to join us, Reb.
Levi Margolin.
We are discussing the section on proper and improper prayer, Reb Levi. Nahum, will you be good enough to bring me the volume?
The Treatise Barachot, the 7th chapter.
That's right. The 12th paragraph. The book, please, Nahum.
The 12th? Oh, yes, yes, I remember. To pray for the impossible is disgraceful.
Never mind the book, Nahum.
It is as if one brought into a barn 100 measures of corn and prayed, May it be thy will, O Lord, that they become 200. Oh, I seem to have interrupted your study.
No, no, not at all, Reb Levi. In fact, we would be pleased to hear your opinions in the matter.
My opinion is not important, Reb David. But Maimonides, in the introduction to his great commentary on the Mishnah, speaking of prayer in general, makes the significant point that prayer...
In all...
the other hand, Rabbi David Hanogid, the grandson of Maimonides, commenting on the same problem, said that prayers in affliction undoubtedly reach the heavenly throne and are heard with mercy. And so we see from the commentary of Simeon ben Tzemach Duran that what appears to be a contradiction is easily resolved. You must forgive me. I sometimes do not remember to stop.
What are you saying, Reb Levi? We could listen for days.
I would be honored, Reb Levi, if you came home with me.
Please, Nahum. I am, after all, the president of the congregation. Reb Levi.
Well, I thank you both, but I have arranged with the landlord of the inn.
Then maybe tomorrow.
I must be on my way in the morning, Reb David.
Oh, I am disappointed.
But tonight I will be at the inn.
Where is he, Nahum?
Do you have to ask, David? Look there. The wisdom, the knowledge that flows from his lips. Did you know, for example, the difference between the planets and the fixed stars?
Levi Margolin is discoursing on astronomy?
Astronomy, geometry, botany, anatomy. Anatomy. Now I understand for the first time why you are so irritable. You see, the spleen is the seat of... You're not listening, David.
I wonder, Nahum. I wonder.
First you don't listen, then you stare at the ceiling. What's the matter with you?
It's possible. Might just be possible.
What are you talking about, David? Tell me.
When I'm ready, I'll tell you, Nahum. First, there's something I must ask Reb Levi Margolin.
And that is the explanation according to the ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle.
Reb Levi, we are speechless with amazement.
Are you, Reb David? Why should that be?
That so much knowledge can be found in one man? Talmud? The Zohar? Kabbalah? We heard with our own ears.
Yes.
Not to mention mathematics, the motion of the stars, the inner workings of the human body, and now philosophy? It makes a man think.
Well, if it does, then I am happy.
Makes me think, for example, how long does it take to acquire so much knowledge?
Is that of any importance?
No, of course not. Still, how long?
Well, I've been studying all my life.
Ah, yes, but you began to speak, so to speak, at the beginning. To teach what you know, that wouldn't take so long, would it?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
I mean, if he is already a scholar of no small degree.
Who is a scholar?
Nobody. Anybody. You are a teacher, aren't you?
Reb David, what do you have in mind?
Nothing. Nothing at all. It's only my curiosity. Reb Levi, must you leave tomorrow morning?
I'm on my way to the academy where I will lecture next month.
Next month? Then please stay with us a little while. You will be our guest. It won't cost you a penny. And who knows? You might even give a few lessons here.
So, David, you're going to study with Levi Margolin.
Who, me? Nahum, sometimes you sound foolish.
But you said...
When Reb Levi talks, I understand one word in ten. And you understand no more, my friend.
Well, from the way you were questioning him, I surely thought...
There's only one man here who could understand every word.
One? Of course. Reb Elihu.
That's right. Our own scholar. Now do you see?
I see, only... How do you know that Reb Elihu wants to study with Levi Margolin?
That's not how to look at it. A scholar, that is a teacher, is not so different from a businessman. A shoemaker earns a living by selling shoes. A teacher sells knowledge. Nahum, we will buy a present for our Reb Elihu. What we are buying comes high. You will need at least 100 more.
I can give 20.
Each one must decide for himself.
Well, 30.
Yes, of course.
Reb Dovid, this is all I have.
Did I say anything?
I wish it were more.
You don't have to apologize. Every penny helps. I'm sure we have enough now.
I'm happy to hear it. I was thinking, Dovid.
This is no time for doubts, Nahum. We've decided.
I suppose you're right.
Of course I'm right. What were you thinking?
Nothing. Only that I wonder what Reb Elihu will say.
Yes, Reb Dovid.
Oh, it's you, Benjamin. I want to see Reb Elihu.
I'm sorry, you can't go in now.
Don't put on airs, Benjamin. I knew you when you couldn't tie your shoelaces. Be good enough to stand aside.
You don't understand. He's in the middle of a train of thought that could lead who knows how far.
What a man. All the same, get out of the doorway.
Why is it so important that you have to see him now, this minute?
For one thing, not that it's any of your business. I have his weekly stipend from the congregation.
Leave it with me, Reb Dovid. I'll give it to him later.
Reb Elihu doesn't need you for a protector.
Let him come in, Benjamin.
There. See what you've done.
I know I'm interrupting, Reb Elihu.
The stipend, you said. If it's more than the congregation can afford...
We are honored that you accepted, Reb Elihu, and we can afford it. In fact, it should be more.
I don't need more, Dovid. We live simply, my wife and I. It's enough.
But that's not the point. I'm not talking about the money. Not that we... couldn't afford a handsome salary. If you would consent to take the post of rabbi...
Oh, Dovid, you have asked me before, and I have answered before.
It isn't right, Reb Elihu, a man like you to whom scholars come to settle their disputes. You shouldn't sit in the middle of the congregation.
Should I sit alone?
And accept the judgments of those who know less than you.
Listen to me, Dovid. Some men can do one thing, some another. Some are needed for one purpose, some for a different purpose.
And you are needed only for sitting over the books? Our need is not your concern?
You are saying it is a kind of selfishness, hmm?
Excuse me, Reb Elihu, I didn't mean it that way. Only in heaven's name, how much is it necessary for a man to know?
Oh, if you only knew how much there is to know.
Then it comes to this. You can't be our rabbi because you still don't know enough.
It is not as simple as that, Dovid.
Then it's not simple. But it's true, isn't it?
And if I say it's true,
fine. Excellent. Then the problem is settled. Benjamin, a certain man is waiting outside.
I must insist, Reb Dovid. You have taken enough time.
Please, if Reb Elihu wants to throw me out, he'll do it without you. In the meantime, ask the man to come in.
What are you scheming, Dovid?
Don't say it like that, Reb Elihu. I'm thinking of your interest.
And maybe ours as well.
I thank you for waiting, Levi Margolin. You will find much in common with Reb Elihu.
Don't you think it's time to tell me what this is all about?
I am also waiting to hear, Dovid.
It's simple. Just look around you, Reb Levi. Books on the table, books on the chairs, on the floor. There's no place to sit. And hardly room to stand.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I noticed. It's a very pleasant room.
All his life, Reb Elihu has been studying, seeking knowledge.
And you think that's wrong?
Is that what I said? But for what he wants, two lifetimes would not be enough.
I'm beginning to think that it may be true, Dovid.
Then allow me to tell you, Reb Elihu, that if knowledge is what you're seeking, your search is ended.
No.
Yes. That's why Levi Margolin is here.
Dovid...
Excuse me, Reb Elihu. I'm beginning to understand, Reb Dovid, but are you sure you know what you're doing?
Absolutely. We are prepared to sign a contract with you.
Very businesslike. How do you know that I can deliver according to the terms of the contract?
We have confidence in you, Reb Levy. Besides, payment usually comes after delivery.
I see nothing to laugh about.
Oh, please do not be offended, Reb Elihu. To show that I meant no harm, I will offer the first lesson even before the contract is signed.
You don't waste it on us, Reb Levy.
I will tell you something, Reb David. I believe that if the truth is taught, then it is never wasted. Listen, it is an ancient text and very short. Who is wise? He that learns.
Is that all?
It's enough, David. If you don't mind, we have much to talk about, Reb Levy and I.
On this day, exactly 197 years ago, in the season of his life when the harvest was not yet certain, Reb Elihu led the learned stranger into the room, overflowing with books, and closed the door. And the congregation waited.
We should never have left them alone, Nachum. You hear? Who knows what an innocent like Reb Elihu can promise? I can imagine. How can you work at a time like this? I'm talking to you, Nahum.
See what you made me do, David. My finger is swelling already.
I'm glad to see that you're also nervous.
Who's nervous? All the same, it's taking a long time.
Too long. We only have to settle the technical details. What lessons? How many? How long? The rest is my job. Nahum, I have to talk to Levi Markelen.
Relax. You'll talk to him.
Relax? Listen, in business you don't relax until the contract is signed and sealed. Well, what are you looking at? Maybe you think I'm wrong?
I'm not arguing. Only a thought came to me.
Again? I must tell you, Nahum, that of late your thoughts have not given me pleasure.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. David, the sample lesson that Levi Margolin gave, was it for Reb Elihu or for us?
Is that all you have on your mind?
I must ask him what he meant.
I have more important things to talk about with Reb Levy.
You can't go in, Reb David. Nobody can.
Benjamin, I'm in no mood for this. Open the door.
It's locked from the inside.
But I must talk to Reb Levy.
Reb Levy? He's gone. He left an hour ago. That's when the door was locked.
Something is wrong, David.
Oh, nonsense. What can be wrong, Nahum? All the same, I wonder what went on in there. What went on, Benjamin? How should you know you were on this side of the door?
Reb David, I went outside and looked through the window.
Spying on Reb Elihu?
What did you see? It's hard to explain. At first they talked and talked both together, it almost seemed. And they laughed.
What is there to laugh about?
Then they stopped laughing and talked quietly. I wish I could have heard.
Go on, go on. Then what?
Nothing. They were silent, thinking.
And when Reb Levy left?
Reb Elihu sat at the table, his books open.
Studying? That's good.
Reb David, his eyes were closed. And ever so often he sighed, as if from the bottom of his heart.
David, something is wrong.
Oh, don't be a pessimist, Nahum. Benjamin, do me a favor. Go out again and look through the window.
I looked, just before you came. He's sitting in his chair with his eyes closed, thinking.
Can't go on like this, Benjamin.
What do you want me to do, Reb David? Break down the door?
Maybe if you just knock. Reb Elihu.
I've kept you waiting a long time. I'm sorry, my friend.
It's nothing now that you are here. Well, Reb Elihu,
What do you say?
I've been thinking what to say. Do you know what it means to me, what you're doing?
Maybe we can imagine. Eh, Narum?
Can you? Can you really?
We all know you've sat year after year over the books looking, searching for... Who can even guess what knowledge and understanding? And now...
Yes, and now...
Now you can close the books. No more studying. Now you have Levi Markelen.
David, Nachum, my friends, you are all good people.
Please, it isn't necessary.
But it is. I thank you all for a gift you consider precious.
We are happy that it pleases you, and we can only hope that... that we consider precious. Only we?
Oh, how can I make you understand? Listen. Once there was a man...
Surely after all these years to be freed of the necessity of labor...
Listen, David. There was a man, a scholar, who dreamed he was in paradise and was taken to the room of the Tanaim, the wise men of long ago, and there he beheld...
To know everything without study. Isn't that paradise enough?
There he saw the Tanaim studying the Talmud. He cried out, "Is this then all there is to paradise?" And he heard a voice answer, "You believe the Tanaim are in paradise. You are wrong. Paradise is in the Tanaim."
You don't want knowledge. You want only to continue studying.
Knowledge is not in the knowing, but in the seeking. Who is wise? He that learns.
The lesson was not intended for me.
Wasn't it?
What can I now say to Levi Margolin?
You don't have to say anything. He's gone. He's resumed his journey to the academy.
And you? You will continue to turn the pages of your books.
Why are you angry?
Oh, forgive me, Reb Elio. I am disappointed.
David, what do you want of me?
So little, Reb Elio.
Only that you should come and preach to us once a week. But every minute that I sit over the books is a sermon.
I don't see what that has to do with us.
Tell me. Why do you think it is so important to me that I should continue to study?
How can I tell? In order to know, I suppose.
You cannot separate studying and knowing and doing. David, if I know the commandments regarding charity, am I relieved of the obligation to be charitable? If I know the laws dealing with justice, am I then not required to do justly? If I continue to study, it is in order that I may learn how to live as I am told I ought to live. And you, David, what about you?
Me? I don't know what you mean.
The Talmud requires the same of all men.
I am not a scholar, Reb Elio. For my needs, I know enough.
Each day has its own needs. Can you store up knowledge for tomorrow? David... The requirement is not knowledge, but study.
Well, why are you all standing here? Reb Elio has already wasted half a day on our account.
No, you mustn't say that.
Why not? It's true.
It wasn't wasted. I'll tell you why. Because you made me understand a very important thing.
We did?
For what I want, you said... Two lifetimes would be too short.
If you pay attention to the things I say...
I also said it, but we were wrong, David. To learn what must be known, one lifetime is just long enough.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Isaac Klein, spiritual leader of Temple Emmanuel, Buffalo, New York. Rabbi Klein.
Shakespeare put into the mouth of a Jew the words, "Sufferance is the badge of our race." He would have been much more correct had he said, "The love of learning is the badge of our race." Ever since the Bible has enjoined upon us and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, we embarked upon a career of study. The rabbis have enlarged upon this mitzvah of studying by the concept of Torah Lishma, study for its own sake, study without an ulterior motive, study as a mode of worship. When one studies in this manner, said Rabbi Meir in the Ethics of the Fathers, he accomplishes many things. He becomes the beloved of God and the beloved of man. It prepares him for the good life, and it raises him above all things. That is to say, he is undisturbed by the fads and fears of the moment and sees things under the aspect of eternity. With the celebration of the festival of Simchat Torah, the Jew reaffirms every year his dedication to the Torah as a guide to righteous living, as well as to the devotional study of his sacred lore. There is much blessing in both for modern man. Modern man is in need of an anchor to give him stability in the surge of international conflict and in the waves of nihilistic doctrines that threaten his existence. As for learning, the devotion of some time for study and contemplation will breed the calm and serenity so necessary in order to face an uncertain world by having the centuries speak to us instead of the days and the years, as well as open the heavens for us as we reach for the divine. We pray that a lifetime be long enough for it.
Thank you, Rabbi Klein. Eternal Light drama today, A Lifetime is Just Long Enough, was written by Joseph Mendel and was presented in observance of the holiday of Simchat Torah. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. Featured in the cast were Norman Rose as Reb Levi, Santos Ortega as Dovid, Mandel Kramer as Nachum, Guy Repp as Reb Elihu, Larry Robinson as Benjamin, with Danny Acco and Bill Keneally. Ivor Francis was the narrator. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.